It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And speaking of relating to climate, I noted that my lake froze over yesterday, the 6th, probably froze over sometime the night of the 5th, but it was open on the day of the 5th, so I know that it froze yesterday. And I got to looking at my records to see how that compared, and while it's not the earliest, it's certainly not. It's very much on the early side of things. The earliest that my lake ever froze over was on the 24th of October in 2002. It promptly opened back up again, but then it froze over on November 3rd and opened up again. And it finally froze for good and all on the 26th of November, which is closer to the average date now. Over 30 years, the average date for the lake to freeze, for my lake to freeze over, is the 23rd of November. But if you take the first 10 years and do the average for them, it's closer to the 10th or 11th of November. So it's gotten later by almost 2 weeks over the last 30 years. And this year, we're a bit on the early side. But as I said, not completely earliest ever. 85, it froze over on the 2nd of November, 91 on the 2nd, and 93, it froze over on the 6th, and 95, it froze over on the 4th in 2006. It froze over, pardon me, on the 3rd of November. But lest you think that that's the only way the thing goes, it froze over on December 3rd in 1998, December 4th in 2009, and December 2012, when it was so very, very warm. We had the ice on the lake in 2012 was on the 13th, and 2013, when it was so very, very cold, it froze over on the 8th of November. So doesn't seem to be much of a correlation between freeze-in dates and how long the winter turns out to be. So I guess it's not impending doom. The fact that it froze early just means that it's been a little cool this early November. And really, with snow on the ground this time of year, that's a bit unusual, too. You usually don't see our first snow that sort of sticks around and is permanent or that is going to remain on the ground until spring. Usually doesn't come until late in November, sometime around the 20th to about the 25th or 26th. So some of the stuff I've been looking at this last week, interestingly, just before this cold snap came on at the bog, I was seeing spiders. I saw two different species of spiders, both of them females. And both of them, I wouldn't say active. Let's just say they were moving, but it was probably around 40 degrees, and they weren't moving very fast. They were kind of sluggish. So I got a good chance to pick them up and look them over pretty carefully. There were also a lot of little Asian lady beetles looking for cover and trying to find places where they could survive the winter. Oftentimes that would be amongst the insulation that covers some of the tubes that I work with. And that proved to be a bad choice. Most of those lady beetles now are probably dead. Looking at some of the tamaracks, you know, around the area, I mentioned last week that those tamaracks that are still in pretty good color right now are probably European larch, and most of those are going to be planted near somebody's home or near an old homestead, and they will, my European larch right now is past its peak of color and well on its way to losing all of its needles, but still more colorful than any of the tamaracks that are around right now. In the bog where I work, in the heated chambers in the chambers that are plus 6 3/4 centigrade. The tamaracks are just starting to reach their peak of color. And in those that are plus 9 degrees centigrade, they are just approaching their peak. There are still some green needles on a lot of the tamaracks amongst those in the plus nines. And one of the things that we've discovered out there is that temperature has a great deal to do with phenology, much more than photoperiod. So it looks like warming this area will cause the tamaracks to extend their growing period. And the same thing is demonstrated by the data that I've collected over the years. The tamaracks tend now to be about 5 days later in terms of their average peak of color. So it started off around the 12th of October, when the tamaracks would reach their peak of color in the first 10 years or so of records that I kept. And then in the last 10 years of records that I kept, the date runs more like the 17th of October. So lots of variations among the tamaracks over the years. And this is this experiment that we're working on up in the bog is seeming to reinforce that as well. On the 3rd of November, I saw the first of the ponds along the roadways starting to freeze over, at least holding ice through the day. There had been mornings when there was a little skim ice on some of those ponds, but as of November 3rd, they were iced over and have not opened up since, and nor do I expect that they will. It looks like we're going to be perhaps skating in the next couple of days if you have a small lake. I know of a couple in the area. As always, if you are thinking of going out skating, go prepared. Bring your picks to get yourself back out of the ice, out of the hole in the ice, and bring a personal flotation device. Maybe you've got one of those that activates when it hits water. That would be a good thing to have. Whatever, make sure that you go prepared and go with a friend, but don't skate right side by side. Always good to have somebody there to help you if something goes bad. Now, if you do happen to go through the ice, and I have gone through the ice, the first time I went through the ice, I made the mistake of trying to continue in the direction that I had been going. So let's just make it simple and say I was skating north when I fell through. And my first attempt at getting out of the hole was to continue to the north. And that was a mistake, and I didn't realize it until after I had a few moments to stop and think about where I was and what my future might be. And with those thoughts running through my head, I turned myself 180 degrees. So if I had been skating north, in this example, I turned around and went south. And that's because I came from the south, and that ice was holding me up. And now I was climbing back onto ice that was thicker and was holding me up, and that was what I needed to do. So if you do break through the ice, and I hope that you won't, but if it happens, then turn around, go back the way you came, because it's going to make a huge difference in getting out. Enough said about ice. I hope to see you skating one of the next few days when the ice is at least 2 inches thick. And you need to make sure that you know the area, know where the rivers flow through, know where the springs are, keep a sharp eye out, and be prepared for the worst, because you don't want to be a statistic. You want to be a skater. Among the birds that I've been noticing this past week include several that are new to the area, birds that come down here in the wintertime. Among them, of course, snow buntings. You probably have seen snow buntings by now. The juncos are sort of sliding out of the area, though I'm still seeing a few here and there. None of the big flocks that were around a while back. They've gone a little further south. I had some goldfinches at my thistle feeder for a while, but they moved on. And I've got, the usual crowd, red-breasted nuthatches, white-breasted nuthatches, blue jays, chickadees, of course. No purple finches in a few days. I have seen a northern shrike, And this bird looks remarkably like a gray jay in that it has sort of a all-over gray body. But the difference between the gray jay and the northern shrike is pretty obvious when you know the two. The gray jay has no black on its body at all. And the northern shrike has black on its wings, black on its tail, and a nice black slash going right through its eye and back to the back of its head. So if you see a bird of blue jay size or thereabouts and it has black on it, it is probably a northern shrike. The other thing that gives away the northern shrike is its habit of flight, and that is to kind of fly low and then sweep up to a high perch and land top of a power pole, the top of a tree. They like to be able to see where they're at and see their surroundings, because even though they are songbirds, they are predatory, and they attack and kill other birds and mice and salamanders, and well, not so many salamanders this time of year, but certainly mice, voles, other birds. They're out there killing and eating what they can, and so watch for the northern shrike. The other bird I saw, and this was pretty exciting to me because I haven't seen these birds in significant numbers in many, many years, and that was evening grosbeaks. I saw three of them, which is, you know, paltry compared to what I used to have at my feeder back in the 80s. Used to have 50 birds and they'd spend the entire winter. Well, that's not the case anymore, and it's quite rare to see evening grosbeaks. They're white and black and yellow and quite strikingly marked, so they're easy to spot when you do get a chance to see them. So some evening grosbeaks around the area. Pine grosbeaks are coming into the area. They are a northern bird coming down, and that's the one that the male is that sort of reddish, I don't know, kind of a smoky red color. Not bright red like a cardinal, but a beautiful kind of soft red. And the female is more of a gray with some touches of orange here and there. And that pine grosbeak, they should be coming into an area near you very soon. The other thing I wanted to mention is that it's still not too late to look for the trees that are not from around here. I'm looking out the window here at KAXC, and the buckthorn is still bright green. Along the way in here, along the river road, there is a very mixed green and yellow weeping willow that is just now starting to lose its leaves. And here and there, a Lombardy poplar or maybe a white poplar still holding on to some of its last leaves. But when you see those trees, when you see trees, oh, and silver maples and some sugar maples. They talked about the sugar maples down at Crosby, and there's some sugar maples here in the Grand Rapids area as well that are holding their leaves. And I think that these all are varietals that were brought in, maybe brought in from a nursery somewhere and planted. And they are healthy and they're growing well, but their phenology is markedly different from the local phenology. They are not from here, as I am fond of saying. That's our phenology show. You are from here, and I am from here, and being here is not a bad place to be.